Credio Africa, the show that inspires you to improve your health, educates you on health and nutrition issues. We offer practical tips on daily living so you can have better health. I am your host, Dr. Mary Mugambi, a doctor in nutritional sciences, talking to you from the city in the sun, Nairobi, Kenya. Joining me here at Health Talk Radio Africa. I really appreciate your company. First, I'd like to thank you listeners for sharing this program with your friends and colleagues. Because of you, at any given time, we now have listeners in 7 to 10 countries around the world, not just on the African continent. It is because of you listeners that my team and I keep striving to keep this program going. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Please keep sharing these podcasts so that we can reach and help as many people as possible. Just by forwarding this link, you get to help a friend, a relative, or a colleague whom you did not know was suffering in silence. There has been a phenomenal response to our first episode on teenage pregnancy. Many listeners contacted me with so many questions on how to help their pregnant loved ones, especially the teenagers. Others stopped me in the mall. Many listeners felt that I had left out so much information that affects the pregnant teenagers. Many listeners asked questions on alcohol and substance abuse. Many wanted to know how alcohol or drugs affect the pregnant teenager. So, listeners, in this episode, we are going to have a no-holds-barred information session on how alcohol and drugs affect the fetus. We begin our program talking about alcohol abuse. Now, we all know teenagers are prone to peer pressure and they always want to belong to a group or to fit in. Now, sadly, this includes alcohol consumption. Alcohol consumption during pregnancy can cause irreversible mental and physical retardation to the growing fetus. There's a special name for it. It's called the fetal alcohol syndrome, and they have very distinct features. Now, fetal alcohol syndrome, it is one of the leading causes of mental retardation and one that is completely preventable. So when is the damage done by alcohol? The first month or two of pregnancy is the most critical for fetal development. The pregnant teenager may not realize it, that they are pregnant until their sixth week of pregnancy. If the alcohol is drunk during the first trimester or the first 12 weeks of pregnancy, the developing organs, such as the brain, the heart, and the kidney of the fetus, may be damaged and malformed. Alcohol consumption during the second trimester or the fourth to sixth month of pregnancy increases the risk of spontaneous abortion, or otherwise known as miscarriage. It's just spontaneous. Now, thirdly, consumption during the third trimester or the seventh to ninth month of pregnancy, the body and brain growth of the fetus will be retarded or interfered with. And then you may be asking, how much alcohol is too much for a pregnant teenager or even a pregnant woman? Well, it is recommended that pregnant teenagers or women completely abstain from alcohol. That means that is absolutely no alcohol consumption is best for the pregnant teenager and her baby. No alcohol consumption at all. Now, a teenager might not abuse alcohol, or she may just take one drink or some alcohol once and then still give birth to a baby that is damaged by alcohol. And then this teenager will wonder, how come the baby is damaged? I only drank once. And the reason for this is very simple. The liver is the organ that detoxifies or cleans the body of alcohol. Now, if a teenager drinks more than the capacity that her liver can handle or can detoxify, then her fetus is in great danger. 4 drinks per day actually dramatically increases the risk of having a deformed baby. A teenager may not drink during the week, but will binge drink and drink excessively during the weekend while with friends and due to peer pressure. Now, this binge drinking exposes the growing fetus to toxic levels of alcohol that will most likely damage the fetus. Let's switch gears now and talk about drug abuse. As I was drafting this episode on the television, there was footage of drug use among men and women in some of the remotest parts of Eastern Africa, by the borders of Kenya, Somalia, and Ethiopia. Very remote villages. This region is grossly underdeveloped and has some of the highest rates of malnutrition. And when the young men and women were asked why they consumed illicit drugs, most responded, well, having too much time on their hands. Others stated they are unemployed, they have no skills to get them employed anyway, and the only way they could cope with their lack of skills and opportunities is to consume illicit drugs and alcohol. At the same time, on social media, really sad, there was a report on the newest drug craze targeting children and teenagers. A new formulation of methamphetamines in cute shapes and bright colors being sold as sweets or candy. Ironically, the new drug is called candy. You should see the horrendous pictures of young children who have eaten this candy. They have mouth sores with big, huge bubbles of swollen tissue, bright pink, red. Even worse, it is the adults and teenagers peddling the candy drug to the young children. Now, in the middle of these two gruesome scenarios are the pregnant teenagers. No one is talking about drug abuse among pregnant teenagers. The teenagers are suffering in silence. We all have a wrong perception that drug abuse is concentrated in urban areas. Sadly, drug abuse cuts across rural and urban environments. It cuts across rich, middle class, poor communities. No one is spared. Unfortunately, abuse is so common among pregnant teenagers. Cocaine, marijuana, you name it. Our pregnant teenagers are taking it. And even in the very remote areas, Codeine in cough syrup is the new drug of choice. Can you believe that? Cough syrup in with codeine. You know, codeine makes you lethargic and sleepy when you take it in small doses. But when you drink the whole bottle of cough syrup, it's really a potent narcotic. Young people drink this cough syrup like it is soda to get the effects of the narcotic codeine. The cough syrup is extremely cheap and is available over the counter in pharmacies. So, what do the drugs do to the growing fetus in the womb anyway? You're probably asking that. So what? What do they do? Sadly, these illicit drugs, they cross the placenta into the fetus. The drugs then interfere with the growth and development of the fetus. They drastically slow down the growth of the baby growing in the womb. Now, these drugs, they also cause preterm birth. The mother goes into preterm labor. The infants are also born with low birth weight. Other times, they cause the children or the babies to die before they reach 1 month old. Yes, you give birth to a live baby, and before 30 days, the baby is gone. And for those infants who survive drug exposure in the womb and they live that past 1 month, many die from sudden infant death. You leave the baby to sleep and when you come back, the baby is gone. Many others have their central nervous system and mental development damaged. The baby is slow, they can't think, they can't do anything. Even worse, for the infants that survive, as they grow, they will have behavior problems and suffer from hypersensitivity or have attention deficit disorders. Personally, I think the worst is seeing a newborn infant go through painful withdrawal symptoms from a drug they were exposed to in the womb. It is completely heartbreaking. Have you ever seen a baby go through heroin withdrawals? It is heartbreaking, to say the least. So how do you help the pregnant teacher who is abusing drugs? Oh, cut off the peer pressure that is keeping the pregnant teenager hooked. Cut off the friends, cut off their colleagues, cut off even their relatives. Isolate the teenager to prevent her from accessing the drugs and then seek professional help. If you live in a remote or rural setting, go to a health facility if one is available. I know many times families have been forced to lock their pregnant teenagers to prevent them from accessing the drugs from friends and peers. This is especially true for rural communities where professional help is not readily available. There are no easy answers here, but all I can confidently tell you that total abstinence from drugs is crucial to prevent the baby from being harmed. What about smoking? A lot of questions from listeners came in about smoking. 1 out of 9 women smoke during pregnancy. Sadly, the rates are so much higher for pregnant teenagers. In certain communities, smoking is not such a big issue, but chewing tobacco, sniffing tobacco is more common than smoking cigarettes. This is especially true for communities in the East African coast. I'm not so sure about West Africa or Central Africa, but the more rural the community is, the more prevalent chewing of tobacco and sniffing tobacco. Now, sadly, in the southern and eastern African coast, these are the communities with very high rates of teenage pregnancy. Teenagers are exposed to tobacco chewing and sniffing while very young, sometimes even before puberty. Smoking cigarettes or chewing tobacco drastically cuts down the blood supply to the growing fetus. Yes, it cuts down the blood supply to the growing fetus. As a result, there is reduced oxygen and food and nutrients reaching the growing baby in the womb. Yes, the baby gets less oxygen and less food to grow. Obviously, this slows down the baby's growth in the womb. I think the worst is that the waste removal of the fetus is also reduced. You not only cut down the oxygen and the nutrients, but the waste from the baby cannot get out, which is worse. A pregnant teenager who smokes, chews, or sniffs tobacco is then more likely to have a complicated birth or have a low birth weight baby. How can you help the smoking pregnant teenager? Again, there is no shortcut, listeners. There is no shortcut. The tobacco consumption has to completely stop. The tobacco consumption, whether it's smoking cigarette, chewing tobacco, or sniffing tobacco, has to completely stop. Anytime the tobacco enters the teenager's body, the growing fetus is affected. I'll tell you a small story. A pregnant teenager who was a heavy smoker came to my office. She was in tears. She stated that on her delivery day, she did not smoke any cigarettes. Her baby did not live for more than 24 hours. The catastrophe was that during her entire pregnancy, we had been telling her to stop smoking. We gave her really gory pictures showing what tobacco was doing to her fetus. It turns out that she did not smoke the day she delivered because she went into premature labor. Oh, sadly for this teen, she watched helplessly. As her newborn slipped away and died. She could not believe it that all the available technology and medicine could not save her tobacco-addicted preterm baby. There was nothing anybody could do, and she had the best doctors in the state of California. What about over-the-counter medications and herbal medications? Listeners, we forget that over-the-counter medicine and herbal medications are drugs too. Here in my country of Kenya, we have a nasty habit. When suffering from an illness, we tend to go to a pharmacy, ask the pharmacist for medication that they think will help us. Often, we are the ones who ask the pharmacist for medication that we think will help us. We then take the medication. If our illness does not improve, that is when we make our way to the doctor, clinic, or hospital. The pregnant teenager is not spared of these bad habits that we have. Taking any medication without the supervision of a qualified doctor or obstetrician can be equally harmful to the fetus, just like alcohol, just like the illicit drugs we talked about. Furthermore, certain medications that you can buy over the counter can interfere with the absorption of nutrients from food. Others cause birth defects. By the way, don't overlook those herbal medications. They look innocent, but they can be just as harmful as any conventional medication. I'll tell you another story. It has been 15 years since I was on assignment in a remote village in southern Kenya, near the border of Tanzania. I never forgot this assignment because I met a very young, beautiful woman who had a baby with a very small head. The head was really small. The baby was very lethargic, with fluid limbs, which had no muscle tone at all. At 2 years old, this child could not even sit and could not even keep her eyes open, had never crawled, had never stood up, and will never be able to sit by herself. The child was essentially like a newborn with a very weak cry. The mother stated the child opened her eyes for no more than 10 to 15 minutes, several times a day, maybe 3 times a day. Otherwise, the child slept most of the day and night. This young, beautiful mother attributed the condition of her child to witchcraft. She said the child was bewitched. But after we probed further and asked some very serious questions, this young, beautiful mother quietly admitted taking some herbal medications around the second and third month of her pregnancy. Sadly, she could not identify the type of herbal medication she drank. It was a drink. She had been given the medication by a person who claimed to have knowledge of herbs. Oh, when the baby was born, the damage had been done. Even worse for this beautiful young lady was a social stigma that she had to live with. Her fate was sealed when the baby was born. The community was simply ruthless, and in their eyes, the woman's womb was cursed. The young mother is now living an isolated life, and she couldn't have been more than 20 years old when I first met her. In this episode, dear listeners, I can only tell you and state that no pregnant teenager or pregnant woman should take any medication without the guidance of an obstetrician or a qualified doctor. Please, I beg you, please also keep away from the herbal medication, for they can be just as potent or stronger than the conventional medicine. Dear listeners, that is all I have for you in this second episode on this series of teenage pregnancy. I stated in our first episode, a pregnant teenager can be the cause of upheaval in a family and drain to the community. However, it is the way we treat the pregnant teenagers in our midst that speaks volumes on the type of community we are. The problem of teenage pregnancy is here to stay. Whether we admit it or not, more and more teenagers are getting pregnant. If we do not help the pregnant teenagers as a society, as a nation, and as a continent, we all pay for the problem directly or indirectly. Just look at the intergeneration malnutrition and poverty that plagues our continent. Ask yourself one question. Why are the areas with high teenage pregnancy the least developed? That is because a pregnant teenager will not be able to contribute effectively in developing their community. If we do not confront the problem of alcohol and drug use among our pregnant teenagers, then we should not be shocked by the health problems that the infants who are exposed to drugs in the womb will bring us. The price tag will be high, and we will pay and continue to pay. When presented with a pregnant teenager, let us not judge, but try to help in any way we can by first feeding them well. This does not mean it will be easy. Far from it. We can rise to the challenge that teenage pregnancy presents us. As I stated in episode 1, once a pregnancy is over and the baby is born, we then can educate the teenage mother to make better choices. Listeners, until next time, remember to eat healthy so you can live healthy. Bye for now. Thank you for tuning in at Health Talk Radio Africa. I hope you have enjoyed today's program and will join us for the next episode. If you have any questions or comments, contact me directly via email, which is healthtalkradioafrica@gmail.com. Remember, at Health Talk Radio Africa, we discuss health and nutrition issues that affect Africa. We offer practical solutions from the experts. Please subscribe to the program and share with friends. This way the program can be more visible and help as many people as possible. I am your host, Dr. Mary Mugambi, wishing you a fantastic time.